In the name of God, Creator, Crucified, and Abyss of Love. Amen. Please be seated. Palm Sunday is a very strange day. We begin with rejoicing and reveling, waving around palms and singing with joy, before we are plunged into the very mystery of Christ's passion. It's an odd juxtaposition and a difficult journey to make in the space of a few minutes. You know, Paul's letter to the Philippians for today includes the elegant Christ hymn, that we are to have the same mind in us as was in Christ Jesus, who, although he was in the same mold as God himself, did not grasp after equality with God, but took on weakness. It's a lesson in humility, a lesson in becoming humble, because Christ himself directed his whole life toward God, which led him to his death, even death on a cross. It's a very powerful hymn, one that probably predated Paul and was used by some of the very earliest Christians to express their beliefs about Jesus, their confession of who they took Jesus to be. But this line about death on a cross is in danger of being swallowed up by the exaltation that comes right after it. It is in danger of glossing over the actual death and hastening on toward Easter. And aren't we in a similar danger? We are tempted to hop over the passion and head straight for the resurrection, to get past the ugly and morbid bits and get straight to the happy bits, the plastic grass in baskets filled with peeps and chocolate bunnies, and the lilies, and the lilacs. But the church calls us to something different for a few days. We are entering Holy Week today, and we will approach the three holy days, or the Triduum. And the church in Holy Week, in observing the Triduum, Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, slows the story down so we do not miss anything that's essential. In proposing Holy Week, the church breaks time. Literally breaks time in order to open up again the wound that is our humanity. Attending to the mysteries of Holy Week is attending to this wound that is our humanity. A wound entered into by the author of all so that we might be healed. We are always in danger of missing the wound of God's humanity. That is why we slow the story down in Holy Week and prepare ourselves for it with Lent. Sometimes I think about the day of the crucifixion in the lives of Jesus' friends and disciples. What an odd, not an odd day, a surreal day. An utterly incredible day. Keep in mind, this was festival time, when Jesus and his friends were partying with Jerusalem, remembering the faithfulness of God toward God's people, when God liberated them from Egypt, when God's avenging angel, a death-dealing angel, passed over God's people, spared them, sheltered them, kept them safe. Just a couple of days before, they had come into town with rip-roaring songs of praise to God. I think of street fairs and neighborhood block parties I've been to, college festivities too, I suppose. I think of Jerusalem littered with red Dixie cups, a faint smell of spilled beer in the air, the wafting aroma of barbecue, and the unmistakable energy of delight of a party. And the surreal shift when such exuberance turns to tragedy, when death comes to the party. If you've ever experienced it, you know it. It's an indescribable feeling. The bottom of your stomach drops out, your legs melt away, and who knows what's holding you up anymore. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw it, what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Watching. In horror, in disbelief, in the perfect knowledge that something was broken beyond repair. The wish that it could all start over, the gnawing sense that no, time must be rewindable because this cannot have happened. There was supposed to be more time, more joy, more life before the goodbye that they didn't even get to say. But they were watching. The crowds went home. Their buzz was thoroughly doused. But not those who knew him. They watched. I can almost see them huddled together, leaning on each other, none daring to say anything to break the silence of their collective raw grief, because it's a scene I've seen before. And so in Holy Week, we slow the story down, beginning with the improbable juxtaposition of palms and passion, so that we can watch with them. I am haunted by a song called "What Sarah Said." I know. 2 weeks ago, it was the gospel according to Mumford and Sons. Well, this is Death Cab for Cutie, if you're interested. I'm haunted by this song, though, because I first heard it shortly before my father died in an ICU. It starts in the middle of a thought, and it came to me then that every plan is a tiny prayer to Father Time. And then it goes on to describe the experience of watching someone die in an ICU. And the song is called "What Sarah Said" because it reaches its climax with the lines, "But I'm thinking of what Sarah said, that love is watching someone die." And what were Jesus' friends doing? They were watching him die. If we are able to watch with them, we will not miss what is essential, the profound love at the bottom of it all. Now, I don't pretend to understand just how Jesus' crucifixion saves us, or why exactly it is a sacramental recapitulation of his passion that nourishes us. I have lots of theories. The church has had lots of theories. Many of them are excellent. Some of them are terrible. I don't pretend to know exactly. What I do know is that this wound of humanity, Jesus' entering into the grip of death, heals us, redeems the shards and the fragments, and begins to knit them back together. As I attend to the inconceivable death of God laid out in my hearing, I find myself in the company of those who loved him beyond measure, whose own hearts broke that day. And it teaches me to love. We are tempted to shake our heads like the crowds, beat our breasts, and just go back to our lives. But that's not the invitation of Holy Week. The invitation is to watch with those who loved him and to become what we see, to slow the story down and even break time to make sure we hear it again. The invitation is to catch sight of and even find ourselves wrapped up in the mystery of divine love. Love is watching someone die. Or maybe watching someone die is love. And if so, then every death we witness becomes a kind of sacrament of Jesus' death, so that Jesus' death can gather up everyone in God. And in attending to Jesus in his passion, maybe we too will find ourselves among the company of those who know him, who love him, and whose lives are forever transfigured by Jesus. Beloved, take time this week to consider the great mystery of our redemption in Jesus' passion. Take time to watch, to pay attention, because this is an act of love. If it helps, consider the meditation of Andrew of Crete in the front of today's bulletin. If it doesn't, leave it. But let us not simply honor Jesus with our lips, but in our very lives, as one of our collects says. Let us learn to become slow to scream crucify, and swift to say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.